This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. Recent headlines have focused on shutting down a homeless camp under Fort Washington Way and what to do about those camping out along 3rd Street above Fort Washington Way. In the midst of those crises, it is easy to lose sight of all the efforts and the progress to address issues around homelessness. Some are directed at meeting immediate needs. Some are strategies to create better places for homeless to live in the moderate and short range. And some are focused on the underlying issues and the severe lack of affordable housing in our community. To discuss this difficult issue, I am joined by the executive director of the Mary Magdalene House, Carrie Powell, the executive director of Strategies to End Homelessness, Kevin Finn, and the associate vice president of Mental Health ACT Division for the Greater Cincinnati Behavioral Health Organization, Debbie DeMarcus. ACT stands for Assertive Community Treatment. To join the conversation, please call at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. Everybody, welcome to Cincinnati Edition. It's really good to have you here. And Kevin, the focus over the last month has been on people who are living on the street, in camps, you know, under the expressway, in tents on 3rd Street. Statistically, what proportion of people who are struggling with homelessness does that group of people who are living outside and want to live outside permanently or seemingly permanently, what proportion does that represent?
Well, last year in 2017 in Hamilton County, there were 7,197 people who were homeless. Now, by homeless, I mean sleeping on the street or residing in one of our emergency shelters. So 7,197.
A couple of things to clarify that. Does that include people who are couch surfing?
No, it does not. The shorthand would be literally homeless. So people who are sleeping in a place not meant for human habitation, such as on the street or under a bridge, or residing in one of the 10 homeless shelters in
Hampton. And that doesn't mean people were homeless all year. That could have been at some portion of the year.
That is a number over the course of the year. But out of that number, 93% of those people slept in one of our homeless shelters. 14% were encountered on the street at some point during the year. And obviously that means that 7% of those people went back and forth between both locations. But basically 14% is the amount of the homeless population that spent at least some time on the street last year. And it's only 7% of the homeless population that slept exclusively on the street last year.
Okay. And there are a variety of reasons why people may want to stay on the street all the time, and we'll talk about that as we go along here. But Carrie, one of the things with the Mary Magdalene House that maybe people don't know your particular organization, who are you serving and what sort of services are you providing?
Well, when Kevin was speaking, I was thinking about the folks that we do serve, because most of the folks we serve are outside. Because what we do is personal care for homeless people. So if you had, so we do a shower, clean clothes, we'll do your laundry, and we also have haircuts. That's for through Franciscan Ministries. That's a ministry that's housed in Mary Magdalene House. But 3 days a week, we provide haircuts for folks. So it's personal care. So if you had access to a shower someplace else, at a shelter or couch surfing, you probably wouldn't come to our shop. Mm-hmm. So those are the folks that we take care of.
Okay. So really basic needs.
That's right.
Basic dignity needs.
That's what we say. We say hope begins with dignity.
And also, if I'm not mistaken, you provide an address where people can get mail. Is that correct?
We do. We do. So that's one of the things. So in order to get – some of our folks are waiting to get housed. Mm-hmm. And in order to get housed, there's some paperwork you need to have. So today we received a Social Security card for somebody who is in queue for housing. It's that kind of thing.
Okay.
Or any other kind of Yeah.
Because if even if you're in a shelter, I guess you can use an address at a shelter, but it is hard to tell people, well, here's how you contact me.
Yeah, and I think something that has been lost in the discussion about the Third Street camp is all the services that are out there being offered to people who are on the street every day. So Mary Magdalene House is a very valuable resource to take care of people who are out there on the street. But, similarly lost in recent discussions has been just how much street outreach service is out there every day targeting people who are on the streets. And that's really what Debbie and GCB sort of specialize in.
Okay. And that's where you started, though, too, right?
Yes. I started out as a street outreach worker with homeless teenagers. Yes. You have a good memory.
Kevin and I go back a long way. So, yes. And just before we lose this and those sorts of immediate services, St. Anthony Center on Liberty
that's
Street
right.
opened, a year
ago?
November of last year. And how has that – are people responding? Are they using it?
Absolutely. So 7 different ministries to homeless folks are housed at St. Anthony Center. So it's been tremendous. It's been tremendous for us. But there's a soup kitchen there. There are other services there. The Center for Respite Care is housed at St. Anthony Center. So as you know, the Friars, the Franciscan Friars, their charism is a dedication to the poor. So when they found themselves in receipt of empty warehouses at that corner, they invited nonprofits who serve very poor urban people, and we were fortunately one of them, to come in and repurpose a space for our needs as well as the other new tenants there.
Okay. Debbie DeMarcus with Greater Cincinnati Behavioral Health. A certain percentage of people who find themselves homeless do have mental health challenges, mental health issues.
Yes.
Kevin said you have workers out there on the street. Talk a little bit about what your programs offer and what you're trying to do.
So the ACT division at Greater Cincinnati Behavioral Health has a PATH outreach program, and PATH stands for Project for Assistance in Transition from Homelessness. It's federally funded by SAMHSA, Substance Abuse Mental Health Service Administration. And what we're funded to do by SAMHSA is find homeless people who have a mental illness that aren't in mental health services and get them connected to services. Last year, we outreached to 350 persons that were on the street. We do street outreach 6 days a week, 4 hours a day.
So what would be the goal of reaching out and literally creating a relationship to a person who's on the street?
Well, we want them to be motivated and willing to get into mental health services. So those 350 people that we outreached to, almost 100, we did get connected to mental health services.
Okay. Would you also be encouraging them to get off the street and get into a shelter that was a little bit safer?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. We want people to go into the shelter. We try to assist them getting into the shelter, see if there's openings. A lot of people, though, won't go to shelters. There's rules in shelters. They have to be in by a certain time. They typically will have to save some money. There's a treatment plan for them. So a lot of people are happier on the street and not interested in going to a shelter. So we work with them wherever they are.
Yeah.
And the rates of both mental illness and substance abuse are much higher among that 14% of people who are on the street than among the homeless population as a whole. Most people don't realize most homeless people are not mentally ill. Most homeless people do not have a drug or alcohol problem. But the people, that small percentage that are out on the street, much more frequently struggle with those issues. So people always ask me about these people that choose to be on the street. I tend to think of that as their illness speaking more so than that they chose to be on the street. A person with an untreated mental illness, and again, Debbie and the PATH team are trying to get people connected to mental health services, they frequently would suffer with anxiety or paranoia, things like that. and very uncomfortable to go into a congregate shelter if you have those kind of symptoms. Same thing with a person with a substance abuse issue. If you know that you're not going to be able to make it through the night without a drink, let's say, and you can't drink at the shelter, then the illness leads that person to reside out on the street.
Okay. So, you know, last week when after the camp was shut down, there was a press conference held on 3rd Street. Mm-hmm. And some of the people there were calling for a variety of policy. But one of the things was the call for big, bold initiatives, that this was a big problem and it needed big, bold initiatives. What do we need to do to address this issue, not just in the very short run or even in the moderate run, but what do we need to do to begin to address the homeless issue?
Well,
we'll all look at each other for
the services are out there. PATH has been in existence in Hamilton County since 2001. We typically encounter about 1,000 people a year. We connect probably about 1/3 of those with services. We are part of the coordinated entry system.
And the coordinated entry system is part of where we connect people who are homeless to housing programs that are funded largely with federal dollars. But the reality is that there's only enough capacity in those programs to offer housing to about 1 out of every 10 people who are homeless. And we cannot.
Is this a question of affordability?
No, these are programs that typically will help people get an apartment and will pay the deposit and will help subsidize their rent for a period of time until they're ready to take over paying the rent themselves. So the affordability issue tends to come a little bit later when we want someone to be able to graduate to paying the rent themselves. We don't want to set people up for failure by having them go into units they're not going to be able to afford long term. So the lack of affordable housing is a huge issue that's pervasive all the way across the issue of homelessness. But the most immediate sort of way we come at the issue for an individual homeless person is to offer them a space in one of these housing programs. But there's only space for 1 out of every 10 homeless people. And with federal dollars, we can't say that someone who's sleeping on 3rd Street is somehow more important than a family sleeping out at the Bethany House shelter, for example. And we can't give the people on 3rd Street a priority over these homeless families and homeless moms that are elsewhere in the system. Again, the other 93% of homeless people who are in a shelter somewhere.
So, in fact, so much of the public attention goes to single males, because that's what people most frequently see on the street. But families that are homeless is a category that frequently doesn't get talked about, but is very much a reality.
1/4 of our homeless people in Hamilton County are children under the age of 18, and 1/3 of our homeless people are people in families.
Wow. And so for Cincinnati Public Schools, that's a real issue. And I'm not sure what the program's called anymore.
Project Connect.
Project Connect. It used to be called something else, and it had that really great little logo that I love with a bus and the kids on the bus. But anyway, okay. But that's a real, you know, those are kids who are homeless and families who are homeless. Now, couples show up at Mary Magdalene House, who are you dealing with?
Couples come. I would say 80% of the folks that we take care of, like you said, are male.
Okay.
And we do take care of couples. If we get a family, we try to find help for them elsewhere right away. Mary Magdalene House is really a place more for adults.
Okay.
It does highlight something interesting. We do not have any shelters in Hamilton County that will take a couple that does not have any children in tow with them. So another factor that I'm sure both Carrie and Debbie see is that if a couple wants to stay together when they're homeless, then they might be a higher chance that they would be on the street because there isn't a shelter that would accept them as a couple. and therefore they'd probably be more likely to be encountered by the GCB PATH team and be going to Mary Magdalene.
We have a lot of couples that come in every single day.
Every single day.
That's right.
Okay.
And the PATH workers do encounter a lot of couples that that's one of the reasons they don't go to shelter. Is they want to stay together. We also find people with dogs, with pets. They don't want to leave their pets.
Hmm. Kevin, over the last 15 years, there's been a lot invested in new shelters or new facilities, both the shelter for men in the West End, a new shelter up on Reading Road, a new couple there, one for women or two for women, I guess, depending on how you count certain things. There's been a lot of investment. So is it that we haven't invested enough in that, or we haven't invested enough in affordable housing where people can live for long periods of time? What do we need?
Well, I think lost in a lot of the discussion, the number of people sleeping outside on the street has actually decreased by 42% in the last 5 years. So it has gone down significantly. Meanwhile, the number of people going into shelter, including those new facilities you mentioned, has gone up. That was the intention, that we wanted those facilities to be more appealing so that people would.
So they are working.
They are working in that way, but that doesn't change the fact that there are some particularly hard-to-serve people who are still out there who both GCB and Mary Magdalene are working to take care of their needs. But it's somewhat geography in that they are coming into shelter, but we're still having the same struggles in terms of finding people affordable housing that they can go to from the shelter or from the street. So the issue of affordable housing is definitely huge sort of across the board.
Okay. We have a caller who's called in, and I think actually we're starting to get calls here. Charles, you have a question you want to ask that sort of, as I understand it, focuses on city council?
Well, Mr. Finn has led a program for years that's actually been trying to bring in programs that are identified across the country as workable, including the affordable housing issues. But council forever has not really addressed this particular issue as a policy issue. Council has controls of funds that they can actually, if they truly plan for it and work with many of the agencies, can resolve it. And you know, if we talk about human services dollars, for instance, that gets debated and almost traded over other services over the years. Wouldn't solve all the problems, but if they left it at the 1.5, they may be able to at least have some kind of cushion to work with it. And you have a human services committee that's supposed to make policies, but no one can find any plans or proposals that they make each year. So council, it seems to me, has got to play a more active role in this.
So Kevin or anybody want to jump in on that one?
Well, I think it's worth noting that we raised $42 million to improve the homeless shelters, as you mentioned. $10 million of that $42 million came from the city of Cincinnati. Also, in the human services funding, you know, the city council is responsible for setting priorities for how that money is to be used. And one of their priorities is reducing homelessness. Our homelessness prevention efforts locally receive $380,000 a year of city human services funding that goes into our shelter diversion program, which is a prevention program. So the city is definitely doing some work in this space. It may not be targeted specifically at people who are on the streets. They're not funding. I don't believe they're funding Mary Magdalene House. I don't believe they're funding the PATH team. But they are providing some resources that are directed at the issue of homelessness. But that maybe there may not be that comprehensive strategy, though.
So anybody else want to jump in on that in the role of council?
I'm with you, Kevin.
Okay. Very good. One of the things, Kevin, you wrote a op-ed recently in which you propose that for what it cost to close down the camp and put people, find alternates for a brief period of time, if we did this systematically, including social workers and counselors and whatever, it would cost about $400,000 a year to get that group, that size group, off the streets. And you suggested that maybe the corporations that have invested so much in downtown Cincinnati along 3rd Street in the Central Business District, you didn't use the term, but on the banks perhaps, should be investing and raising money for this.
I think I said could.
Okay, they could. Okay, they could. What's been the response?
I've not received any calls.
Okay. I'm not being facetious about this. Is there any systematic way that people go out and approach corporations, companies that have an interest in the quality of life in downtown? And that's part of what's going on here. People don't want to deal with the people on the street. And so is there any systematic, not just writing an op-ed and seeing if the call comes in, you know, but reaching out?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm hoping that Carrie's about to tell us about some corporations that provide great support to Mary Magdalene House. I think that we have a very generous community and very generous corporate citizens. But generally speaking, I think they tend to fund an individual agency in their work as opposed to a sort of broader strategy.
Carrie?
I loved the idea that, you know, that
Kevin proposed.
Mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense. Okay.
But my point to some extent was it wouldn't cost as much as people think to just provide housing.
Okay. Well, I want to thank all three of my guests today. Tough discussion about a tough issue. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. Segment producer is Layla Shakui. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our program are available on the website, wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.